How we doing? Good? Well, let's get started this morning. We want to cover a couple things from last week. We got a couple questions left. And then we want to move into the new lesson, which is lesson number 4. Father, we thank you this morning for, Lord, just being who you are. You are God and we are not. Father, I do thank you that we have a Lord and Savior that we can sing praises to. Lord, thank you for the work of the musicians and, Lord, all who come and serve. Father, I just thank you so much that we have a family here that is truly a family of God. And, Father, I thank you for that. Lord, I do ask that you would just guide us, protect us, and, Lord, that all we do and say would be honorable and bring glory to you. Father, again, just bless the folks that are here. And Lord, be with the ones who can't be here for whatever reason. Lord, just bless their hearts also. Lord, again, thank you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to clarify something from last week. I spent too much time on Mary Magdalene. And if you want to know more about Mary and how it first became that she was the one that was truly mentioned, then that has held on since about, I'm going to say, late 50 AD. What the scripture said was that we don't know who that lady's name was. We do not know. And I would like to ask, and if you ever get into a position to where you wonder how you would think about something, maybe in a negative way, I know occasionally I do this, and I did it last week. You know, for a moment I was no better than what the Pharisee was, you know, by accusing people and not knowing all the facts. Now, I've read this past week a lot, and I studied these questions, and I learned more about Mary Magdalene probably than I'd ever know. But with that being said, we don't know. No matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody prints, no matter what certain parts of the Christian faith says, always remember this. The final authority is in God's Word. That's where you go to get it. I had never studied this in depth. You know, I just never had preached on the book of Luke. But with that being said, I want to say, and it could be, it could not be. I don't know who it is. So, but when I was brought up, we lived in a very heavily Catholic religion. There was more Catholic churches than they were Protestant churches, you know, Baptist, Methodist. I'd always been told and never dug any deeper that it was truly Mary Magdalene. And in 1969, the Roman Catholic Church took that away. And I think it's 1950 or 51 AD is when Pope Gregory on Easter Sunday decided that it was Mary Magdalene. So I'd always heard that. But my message to you this morning, and I lost it last week, was that it was just a sinful woman. It could have been a sinful man. It could have been a sinful person. It could have been me or you there. But it was just a woman who showed her gratitude to the one who has the ability to forgive sin. And that's the bottom line. You know, it is praise and glory be to Jesus Christ, not to a sinful woman, because we're all in this together. We're all sinners saved by the grace of God. So I just wanted to clarify that. You know, I had two people come up to me and asked me about that. And I'm thankful for that, because that made me do a little deeper. Lesson learned, final authority is God's Word. Final authority. I do want to, does anybody have any questions on the last two questions? 11, no, the question is what Jesus asked, do you see this woman? Folks, whenever you look upon somebody, you know, remember that we're all in this together. And no matter what decisions we have, there's only two that really matter in all of our lifetime. You're either going to be with Jesus Christ or you'll be against him. That's just how it is. That's the two most important questions we as human beings, and we're all sinners. Every one of us are sinners in need of a Savior. And thank God, we've got Jesus Christ. Anything on 11 or 12? It's kind of a generalized questions. You know, if nothing else, think about 12. How will you go out of your way to see someone more clearly this week? You don't have to answer that. Just ponder that in your mind. If there's no more questions on chapter 3, like I said, you guys may not be getting anything out of it, but let me tell you something. Last week, it spoke to me, so praise God. Lesson 4, why do you call me Lord, Lord? And as I read through the introduction of chapter 4, I thought it was very interesting. I did. Rose and I, we had conversation back and forth and truly enjoyed the way that it is. So this morning, the question is, why do you call me Lord, Lord? And the scripture that we're going to read is Luke chapter 6, 46 through 49. Luke 6, 46 through 49. The word of God says this, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man who built a house and dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when a flood arose, that stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." 49 says, "But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that, without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Folks, this is talking, I'll just sum this up real quick and then we'll get into the questions. This is not about a couple carpenters, okay? This is about eternal life. This is where you stand in this life. Do you stand on the rock that is that solid foundation, which is Jesus Christ, or do you build up in or onto the world where there is no foundation? It's a very shaky place. So in the end, it's about eternal life. That's, now, Christ here uses carpenters as building a house on a good foundation versus just on shaky earth. But again, the bottom line is this. That foundation is there. Build upon it because it is sound. And the Bible tells us that not even the gates of hell will prevail against it. Question number one, and I thought these questions were excellent. I really thought, you know, we went back and forth and, you know, we just kept talking about it. So hopefully you get what we got out of it. Question number one says, what issues does Jesus raise in this passage? I'll get us started. You ever hear the saying, you can talk the talk or walk the walk? This is where the rubber meets the road. This is. It comes down to those two questions we just talked about previous. Not the color of the chairs, not the color of the paint, whether or not I'm going to go on vacation. It's whether or not I'm going to stand with Jesus Christ on that solid rock. So again, what issues does Jesus raise in this passage? Here it is, whether or not a person is going to live eternally the way God wants us to, or are we going to be in a place that he designed for the devil and his angels. Heaven is real and hell is real. And it comes down to just that. It is about salvation. Where are you going to spend eternity? You know, here's God that gave his life upon that cross to pay a penalty that we could not even come close to paying. But yet we turn our back. We disrespect it. You know, it's there for the taking. And it's free. It doesn't cost anything. You know, I don't know why mankind thinks we have to pay for everything. That's good. Here is something that is good. We often say, taste and see how good. You know, here's the Lord offering free salvation, but yet, in a way, we don't choose salvation. We disrespect it. You know, we just ignore it. And we have the ability, sound biblical teaching. You know, so much goes on that it's no longer about the Lord. It's about just pleasing people. And I'm afraid that's going to be a harsh awakening. That's above my pay grade. But I'm still saying that, you know, people's going to be amazed. I mean, they really, truly are. You know, in John 14:15, I think it is, the Lord says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's important. You know, the same saying right there, Lord, Lord. Why do we call him Lord? Just like Fred said, when you surrender your life to him, it doesn't mean that you're not going to have hard times. It doesn't mean that you're going to struggle. But you will have struggles, and you will stub your toe. But you've got a God you can go to at any moment, at any place, at any time, without anybody else's help, and ask for forgiveness. That's the difference between our Jesus and all of the other religions in the world. We have that ability. You know, you see how shaky the world is. You know, everybody's saying, you know, this is happening, this is happening. Well, Scripture tells us this will come. But no one knows when the Lord will call the church home. Nobody knows that. But I can tell you, we're one day closer than what we were yesterday. And you know, there was only one who truly followed God's will to the end. And that was Jesus. You know, we try, but we're humans. We're just flesh with a sin nature. Even though we were justified by the cross, we still have that in us. You know, that sin nature is still there. But standing upon that firm foundation, you're less likely to be shaken. You know, just like the verses say, storms will come and they will rattle your cage. But in the end, if the storm is to take me home, I'm promoted. Praise God. Nothing that I did, but it was all because of what Jesus did, who followed completely, even unto death on the cross, what God the Father wanted him to do. That's the Lord we serve. I don't follow everything the Lord does, but he's still my Lord. Yes. Yes. I think that's where it's lip service. It's lip service. You know, Paul says that he's the chief sinner. We talked about this yesterday at the men's fellowship. I'm right there with him. You know, not that I'm competing to win, but hey, I'm a sinner. Do I like it? Absolutely not. Am I convicted by it? Absolutely I am. Do I try to live a life that is pleasing and honoring to my Lord, who is my master? I do, but I fall and I fail. But yet he picks me up, dusts me off, puts me back on that narrow path. And what's the Bible say about that narrow path? It's hard to stay on that narrow path. But you focus upon that narrow gate. That's what we all need to do. We're going to have the times. A lot of you folks may not know back east. But when the Bible talks about that old Mari clay, West Virginia had a lot of Mari clay. Just slick, when it rained, it got, you couldn't stand up. On the old creek banks, forget it. You're going in the water. You try to walk an old creek bank. When you get off of that path that God has, and why I do it, I don't know. But I do. And I slip and go right in the water. But I think of old Peter, save me, you know. And there's the Lord, dust you off. That's the good thing about having a God That's forgiving. Any other things? Any other talks on number one? Thank you for this. I knew we would get into a pretty good discussion. And they just keep coming. Everything that man has touched, he's messed up. Everything. There is not one thing that God has touched that he's messed up. Not even this old sinner. You know, as the struggles that I have, you know, I just want to keep in those, you know, keep going on that path, you know, and I'm going to have struggles, but I've got a God that loves me and forgives me. I can guarantee you this, that if you want to uncover a good foundation, you have to dig deep. What does God give us to help us dig deep? He gives us his written word. It is there. If you look at the earth, you know, when they talked about just going out, pouring a slab on top of the sand, and it moves and shakes, that's the world. The world is an unstable place, and it will be until the Lord calls his church home, and then we will begin the way God intended it to be. But until that time, continue to stand on that foundation and dig deep in the Word of God, because that is truly where we all need to be, deeper into the Word of God. Question number two says this, and at any time you want to go back and review something, just let me know. Question number two says, what are some possible responses to Jesus' question in verse 46? I'm not going to bother you, Lord. I can do this on my own. Is that not the biggest mistake we as human beings always try to do? When if we just stop, and here's the pyramid, the Lord, and then we come down from there. No matter what we do, we should put him first in our prayer life. Whatever you're about to do, it doesn't hurt to say a prayer. You know, Lord, help me with this because I'm confused. You know, we're prideful, sinful people. That's who we are. And only by God's grace are we saved. You know, through faith, it is so important to cling to that Jesus. You know, Pastor, I don't know how many times over the past month or so, run to Jesus. Go to Jesus. Nothing could be more true. No matter what you're facing. And why do we grieve the Holy Spirit? There's a little word. It's called pride. And we all have it. You know, just like I said, you know, this is not big enough. I don't want to bother the Lord in prayer. No, you don't want to take time in your life to get down on your knees, to just stop for a moment and ask for help. That's pride. We know what the Bible tells us about pride. You know, you better get ready because the fall is coming. Any other thoughts on question number two? Trust and obey. Trust and obey. That's the key that unlocks it all. Trust and obey. Question number three. In Jesus' parable, how are the two hearers of Jesus' words alike, and how are they different? We've kind of covered some of this, but one hears and obeys. The other hears and does things his or her own way. And I'm sure we've all, that's all inclusive, at one time or another, did the same thing. And they both built a house, but one didn't make it. And like I said, in the end, that's about eternal life. Whether or not you're going to spend eternity with God or you're going to spend eternity in hell. Question number four. What is the difference between the two houses? And we've kind of beat this one. Any thoughts? I can remember when we moved out here. My wife kept telling me, and she told me this back home too. Foundation, foundation, foundation. Location, location, location. But the first thing was this, foundation. You got to have. And I look around at this blowing sand out here and I'm thinking, oh my. You know, back home, we would dig down 10, 15 feet, lay a footer, build up blocks, make sure, because back home, you're going to find that bedrock. Trust me. Maybe quicker than 10 feet. But out here was foundation, foundation, foundation. And that's what this is telling us. If you're going to say, Lord, Lord, make sure you're standing upon that solid rock, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 4:11. This is a good one. The stone that you, the builders, despised turned out to be the most important of all. They did it in Jesus' time, and we're still doing it today, choosing not to stand on that foundation, which God Himself says the gates of hell cannot prevail. Question number 5. In what sense does obeying Jesus lay a solid foundation for life? I think it was you, Bruce, yesterday said that if we do obey and we do God's will only for a moment, we get joy out of that. But yet in our own ways of being human, we can ruin that. And then we're off again on our own ways. But it is so important. I wish I could constantly. And just continue to build that until I'm complete here upon this earth. But we will not achieve that. We will strive. We will walk. We will try to maintain our focus upon that narrow gate and upon that narrow path. But it's hard. We will not be made complete until the Lord either calls the church home or individually we go to meet Him. Then we will be made perfect. But that does not mean don't try not to do it. Strive to do it and to feel that joy of, man, I finally got something right. You know, thank you, Lord, for helping me. And I think we ended chapter 3, and I think you said it was about lip service. You know, how people say these words, yet they don't follow through. And this was truly a time when Jesus was on the earth telling the Jewish people that the law, here is the law in front of you. I'm here to fulfill the law, but yet you call me Lord, but you're seeking to kill me. How many today do the same thing? People call Him Lord, but when the rubber meets the road, when trials come, they want to jump out and go back to the old way. They want to run back to the world. The world has nothing but false promises. It doesn't. If you don't start out your day with the Lord Jesus Christ first, how is anything that follows going to be right? You can't put yourself first and then put, and I think you said, Bibles on the shelf. You know, if you don't take that Bible down and read it, well, I don't know where to read. Start anywhere. Start anywhere. But use that Bible. Don't let it just lay on a shelf. Lord, Lord, and mean that. Fred said it means master. It truly is master. He's the ultimate. He's the one that's calling the shots. We may not want to believe it. Here's how much He loved us. That when He ascended, and we talked about this yesterday in the men's fellowship. When He ascended, He didn't leave us alone. He allowed the Holy Spirit of God, God Himself, to come and dwell in our hearts. That's love. We don't have to do this on our own. Put Him first. Let Him lead. Have your prayer life. Folks, it is so rewarding to have a prayer life. You know, and I would invite anybody here on Wednesday and on Thursday evenings, this church gets together and they have a prayer time. And it's not to brag or do anything. It's with like-minded people coming together with burdens on their heart who first and foremost knows that Jesus can and will, if it be his will, answer prayer. Now, we may not like, somebody in here said a while ago, we may not like it, the answers we get, but here's a fact. He's never late. He's never early. He's always right on time. That's the prayer life. There's good, there's bad, but you get into the habit, and I'm going to call it a habit, of praying and asking God to intervene in the problems that we have here upon this earth, you'll be amazed. I have been amazed, and I shouldn't be amazed, because I know my Lord. I know what he's capable of. I know what he's done in my life. I've seen him work in other people's lives. Folks, he's answered prayer for folks that have prayed together. He's answered the prayer. I've seen it happen since I've been here in New Mexico. I've seen it in West Virginia. I've seen it in other places. God truly wants to help us. But in our pride, sometimes we just refuse to go. Folks, thank you. You know, I'm reminded of what Peter says. Where else would we go if it wasn't for you, Lord? If it wasn't you, where else would we go? Okay, we'll pick up next week. Hey, I do have a prayer request. You've heard me say this before. Rose and I are going out of town for a little bit. We're going to fly. We'll be back next Saturday. Pray for the pilot, because he's got this, okay? But more so, pray for Jesus. Pray to Jesus, you know, that he guides us in all of our ways. Let us pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. Lord, again, thank you for this group. Thank you for the participation. Thank you for the questions and the truth that are talked about here in this room. Father, again, just watch care over us. Protect and keep us. Be with the rest of the service, Lord. Be with our pastor. Lord, we give thanks for him. Lord, for all who have a part. Lord, we love you. And we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.